right. Thank you guys so much for coming out today. Holy shit. It has been one hell of a journey to get to this point. We're super excited to have you guys for the first of many revolutionary podcasts in Michigan. I'm T from the Sticky Trap, and this is the Flower Room. I'll pass it over to Fran.
Cool. Yeah. My name's Fran. A lot of you guys know me as FranMan313. You know, I'm representing Sticky Trap and here with the boys hanging out. Super excited. You know, shoot it over your way to Rez.
Resin Reserve.
Select Phenotype. Glad to be here hanging out with you guys.
Hell yeah.
Oh, cool.
Happy to have you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Pleasure is all ours. Thanks for making the trip and making this all possible, you guys. What brought you guys to cannabis? How old were you, and what was the first experience like?
For me, it was 16. You know, finally get a little freedom at 16. A lot of friends start getting a license. Actually, you know what? It was 15 right before that, because I remember a buddy of mine having his mom drive us to RC car racetrack. And yeah, we smoked weed outside there after she dropped us off and raced our RC cars around. So that was one of the first times I remember smoking weed. And yeah, that was 15. So I take it back, not 16. I just started smoking a lot more at 16 and was already in trouble for it by 17.
Nice. All right, Brazen, what about you?
The first time I ever smoked was in fifth grade. My friend took it out of his dad's closet and we smoked it. I didn't really smoke after that until like around sixth grade is when I would start to do it more frequently. But okay. I guess that's only a year later. But
Was it, that's pretty young, bro.
It didn't even really work, barely, but yeah.
So was it like, did you feel it or was it scary?
It was super late at night. We probably barely ever doing it right. But nice. Yeah, so.
Brick of mid.
Yeah, it was probably rolled it in like a newspaper or something. Oh. I can't remember exactly, but like, or maybe it was a pop can or something. But like, yeah, it was.
Yikes!
Smoking a gazette.
Yeah. And then high school, you know, that's when it was more common to get, but it was always brickweed. I didn't smoke anything that wasn't brickweed until I was like 18.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Fran?
The introduction was eighth grade. But I got into it late, you know. I never really got into it till like college.
Okay. You said eighth grade?
Eighth grade, I was introduced to it.
You saw it for the first time?
I saw it for the first time in eighth grade, and I was like, whoa, what is that?
Like bad kid at school, just like, look at this.
My neighbor really pulled it out, and he's like, yo, look what I got. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at. what is this?
All right. Because I know that you started a little bit later, and then you know you pretty much started just smoking the dankest of the dank, which is
fortunate,
a blessing for you. I guess for me, I was I think 15, and a friend of mine went to a private school where all the rich bad kids went to school. Had some dank, and he rolled
the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know. You know, he rolled I think it was a grape swisher.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite.
Yeah.
Too, back in the day.
Yeah. Swishies.
And there was, like, I believe, like, 10 or 15 of us all around somebody's table whose parents weren't home on the weekend, and he rolled it up. And I don't even know if I got high or not, but a friend of mine, DJ Leonetti, was just running around the yard like a maniac, screaming, Cottonmouth! Cottonmouth! I just can never forget that. But yeah, so that was my first experience. All right, well, back on track to the reason we're all here, to this once-in-a-lifetime collaboration between two of our good friends. I guess to start it off, why'd you guys decide to do this collab?
Well, I enjoy doing collabs a lot. I've done a couple of them so far. And I've been following Select for a super long time. He's been doing it for longer than me. So as I got into it, I was already looking at his page and stuff, or, you know, watching what he was up to. So I was just hyped to be able to do it with him. But yeah, it's we have a lot of similar like opinions on certain things. And, you know, I think it's just a good combination.
Yeah, I appreciate that. For me, I wanted to work with Resin because he's seriously putting in the time and effort, and I can tell that he has, you know, has had an excellent trajectory, more, you know, progress and determination, and you know, just a lot of, I understand how much work he's putting in, let's say that, and he's getting good results, and I just love what he's doing. I love some of his flavors. I've always loved, you know, his Hawaiian Fanta. So yeah, it was, you know, I think it was, you know, beside that, I like him as a person. Joined his competition last year. That was cool. So I don't know. It just seemed pretty natural because he and I have, you know, hung out, vibe, smoked a lot together, been at different events together. It's, yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like the next, you know, step. It was, yeah, it just seemed right. And we were right about that because I think the whole collab went pretty, you know, everything meshed. We both meshed together. We worked well together. And yeah, it was good. I think in the end, it was as good as I could have imagined it coming out.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Happy I worked with him.
Thanks for saying all that, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it turned out really good too. Definitely met the expectations.
It was meant to be. So it sounds like it was meant to happen.
Yeah, that's super cool.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we have a lot of respect for you guys and know that you guys put a lot of pride and care and time into your craft. And that's why we're so honored to have you guys here today to start off with two of our favorite hash makers.
Oh, yeah. We love it. Like, seeing what you guys have gone through, you know, I've known Select for a minute. You know, getting to know you has been great. It's funny how we all met and that we're all here is just something that's super spectacular. It's going down, you know. It's like we couldn't plan this any better, you know. Super spontaneous, and we're all here. And man, these jars look fucking awesome. You know, you can tell just the outside of it looks great. I can't wait to crack into them and smell them and try them out.
Yeah, I'm sure the insides are even more spectacular. Well, yeah. So I know you guys already kind of touched on it a little bit, but like, you obviously enjoyed working with one another. What were some of the difficulties and some of the highlights? I know you guys live far away from one another. What was it like, you know, commuting to make this all happen?
Well, first it was many hours on the phone with him. We talked, we strategized, we shared each and every detail about, you know, what our flavors were like and what we thought would, you know, might mesh well together on each other's sides. So yeah, a lot of phone calls, lots of hours on the phone up until, you know, we had to come together to make the blends and press it out and finish it up together, kind of bring it home together. Cause yeah, I guess that's something that everyone, I'll make clear. Cause I know we have a lot of different people watching. The way that we did this collab was where we each made, you know, a selection of flavors from our own stables, and we washed them on our own individually. So I washed all my flavors from Select and he washed all his. Then we brought that dried frozen hash together and then made our blends and then finished it out from there together as a team. So
sweet.
It was separate during the wash and grow, coming together for the rest of it.
Yeah, and it's been a long time coming too. My plants particularly have a really long veg time, and we talked about this as far back enough to where we pick the plants to grow for this collab. It wasn't just like whatever we had.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was like it's been like September, 5 months, right? or something.
September timeframe, yeah. I think we started working on this of 24. Yeah.
It's been quite a long time coming, but we got it exactly the way that we wanted it. So.
Yeah. A question I have. So how far away from each other do you guys live? Like 2 hours or something?
Yeah. Yep.
So I know, you know, from my experience with like Fresh Frozen for, you know, BHO and stuff, transportation of Fresh Frozen is a very delicate, you know, process. I used to be like super concerned with it and covered all in dry ice. And obviously you want it in a cooler or a freezer during transport. With the resin heads post wash, how did you guys transport that? Like any special techniques or anything?
So yeah, you know, great question, because I was, you know, it's something that you're obviously should be very concerned about, because a lot of time and effort has went into that. Then little package of, you know, frozen hash. So, yeah, transportation was important. It actually felt interesting because, like, when, you know, due to the timing of when we did this, it was super cold out already. So it felt weird, but I you know, I packed a cooler with ice. I put all the jars of hash into a container that has, like, a lid. You could seal it. I wrapped that in a towel, and I put more ice around it. So I actually did not use dry ice. I had thought about it, but I didn't think it was necessary, and in the end, it absolutely was not. I was right. It transported perfectly fine, and, you know, when I'm when we're talking fresh frozen material, on the other hand, always suggest transporting that in a freezer, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest doing it in, you know, coolers or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's always a...
Yeah, and I was ready right when he arrived. So, like, even before we really say what's up, it's just, like, first thing we both know, like, get that shit in the freezer.
That's good to add. Yeah. I was like, I handed it off right away. First thing.
I'm on my way. Get it ready.
Yeah.
Now get it inside. Get it in your freezer.
Yeah. Okay, so you transported it in, like, mason jars, not in...
Exactly.
Bags.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, we needed it in mason jars so then we could both blend hashes together, make sure they're 50-50 blend, and you know, we think that it we think that the flavor comes out better, blended better when we do it that way. We also, more importantly, that way when we mix the hash together, we can know our exact ratios of what we're putting in.
Cool.
Makes sense.
All right. Well, that's cool. So what were some things that you guys, like, didn't see eye to eye on? Were there any aspects of this collaboration that one of you guys wanted to do something one way and the other had a different idea? I know you guys are both very particular guys.
I'm pretty open to a lot of stuff, but Select is, for this particularly, did not really want to use any gas stuff, so we did not pick any gas strains.
Oh, terps?
Yep. Okay. So, like, there's stuff like Dark Rainbow and Death Star and Motor Breath, some stuff I have that we did choose not to use.
Death Star? I didn't know you had Death Star.
I don't even have it anymore. Oh. It wasn't even a good cut. So. Did it just, like, good thing we didn't use it.
It didn't wash well, or what was it?
Yeah, it was a fake cut I had.
Some bitch.
Damn.
Yeah.
What did it wash at anyway?
Like a less than a percent. It's supposed to jump. Yeah.
That's definitely fake.
It was pretty fire. It could have been something okay, but yeah.
But it wasn't what it was.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't count on that one. That would have been a bad one.
The real Death Star, I had it years ago, and... dude, that thing was like a 10, 11-week plant.
Yeah.
You know, which was ridiculous at that time. You know, 9 weeks is what I always shoot for.
Yeah.
Did it seem to, like, take a while to ripen up or not even?
A lot of stuff I do pull out more on the early side for the resin. I could see it going longer. But it was not the same plant. I've heard Death Star is a lot smaller and kind of it grows a little more bushy. And this was, like, the opposite. So.
Yeah.
I kind of had a feeling the whole time, and then, or as soon as I got, like, halfway through, I was like, this is not looking like what I heard about. But.
Yeah. The one I had was shorter and more bushy.
Yeah.
But it did yield, you know, higher with biomass, like, just big colas stacked all the way.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time since I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's like Kush Mints and Jedi Kush are similar like that, too. Yeah. They seem like they're small plants, but they throw down.
Yeah.
So no gas terps then.
Yep.
Yeah, I would have been down with a gas mix, but, like, I would have wanted it to be a heavy gas from my side plus another heavy gas from his side.
Nice, makes sense.
Not like one of my fruity ones with something gassy. Like, it's my opinion that sometimes I think there's just too much going on there. Mm-hmm. Everyone has different flavor opinions. I like my gas, but, like, when I smoke gassy terps, like, I generally just want it to be, like, you know, something that's, like, heavy gas. That was basically it. I just didn't have, like, I didn't have anything. I don't have anything super gassy from my stable or my, you know, normal rotation of flavors, I should say.
So it looks like you guys got along fairly well. They're like, okay, cool.
Wasn't really any. I don't think. It was smooth sailing as far as all the ideas and everything seemed. Yeah.
Sweet.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the biggest. And it's not even. Yeah, there wasn't really any issues.
Yeah, I think it was actually kind of surprising how often we were on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Effortless.
Another question I have, you know, you don't have to get into specifics of, like, you know, press temp, but did you guys feel the same about what temperature you wanted to press it at?
Oh, this is an excellent question, yeah. Actually, because then we can touch on our dual tech. Kind of funny quote on the jars even that we put. But okay. Yeah, we call it dual tech. You want to explain dual tech?
Yeah, so, well, I think...
And it's specifically about pressing, like, yeah, you said, so, without getting into specifics. Just explain, yeah.
I guess, though, with doing the collabs, that's one of the coolest parts is, like, it's like I'm learning from him. He might be learning from me. And it's like one-on-one. It's like being with not a master, but a very good teacher. And it's something that you can't experience any other way than doing collabs. Like, you're learning stuff. Yeah, usually you're not on a one-on-one thing. And if you're already on a high enough level to where you can understand why each other is, like, making the choices that they're making. So that's really cool to me. That's, like, one of my favorite parts of it. But it's one part of the dual tech is, like, we both press differently. So, and we, each jar, there was two presses for each jar, even though they were blended together, but we each pressed half of each our own kind of way. Mm. So that it's just, so there, yeah, both of our techs are mixed in there.
That's okay. Sweet.
And then overall, we kind of met in the middle on both of, like, our techs are, it's like pretty much the same, but slightly different. And we kind of met in the middle on a lot of stuff, and it's a cool way to do it.
Yeah, I'd say we adapted both of our techs to slightly mesh with the other person's, but at the same time, we split all, like, everything in this collab was 50-50, like, everything. And what I mean by that is, like, the branding was 50-50. Everything was, the idea was 50-50, and even down to us pressing, it's like, oh, we have two bags worth of mixed hash for most of the flavors, so it's like, okay, you do one press, I'll do the other press. Naturally, he's going to do it a little bit more his way on his presses, and I'm going to do a little bit more my way on mine. But, you know, I've still adapted, even in that, like, I'm still adapting because, you know, we actually did it on his press. So that's, like, a different plate size and everything, and we're using different bag sizes. So different bag sizes than I normally use, I should say. So, you know, there was different adaptations, but it was really cool exactly what he said, you know, me take things from his process and him take things from mine, because, like, I don't care who you are, like, everyone, if two people that are into a craft come together and they each do it their own way, you're gonna see, you know, there's going to be certain things that you see, like, oh yeah, that was smart. I see why you did it that way. I didn't think of it that way. And yeah, there definitely was, I think, you know, cases where that happened during our collab for both of us.
Cool.
Yeah, that's sweet. It sounds really progressional. Like, you guys met together and you're like, hey, let me learn off of that and let's all do it together. So sweet.
So a question I have about that process. So are you guys pressing your own way on the same bag, or are you pressing on one bag your way and then he's pressing on a second bag his way?
Second bag. Yeah, we had two bags for each. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so each one was pressed in your own fashion. Yep. Now, are both of those presses going into the same jar?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's kind of like an ad.
And then they cured together and then we whip them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you notice any difference in the curing?
The curing for...
I think that part, we both kind of... both our techs are similar. Yeah. Similar enough to where it wouldn't be a big difference in that, in curing.
I guess what I'm asking is, because now there's a new variable, you know, he's curing his stuff in a certain way typically, and now it's pressed slightly different, and half of it's in the jar that's being cured, you didn't notice any differences because of that?
No. Oh, no. I just want to clarify. Maybe I'm not understanding the question, but... it was like right after the other, like he did his press and then I stepped in and did mine right after it. And like, that's, it's like,
I'm just not too familiar with the process. And I thought that maybe like the temp at which it's pressed.
I don't think it's something you can visually see.
We press at the same temp. Yeah. Everything is pressed at the same time.
Okay.
So we agreed, you know, that's how let me use this, the temp, we'll use the temp press topic as an example of how we meshed our texts. So, you know, for something like that, we need to come to an agreement on you know, one temperature, because it doesn't make sense to switch. You can't switch unless we had two separate presses there, which we didn't.
Yeah,
we couldn't switch the temp and then do the next one. And so I, You could, I guess, but I think it's better just to...
It would take a lot of extra time.
And and I don't think it would... Time. Yeah. So we, instead, we, you know, he talked about what he normally does as far as press temp. I talked about what I normally do. And then we kind of came to something, you know, a point where we thought would work good with the way that we were doing the rest of the pressing. So, that's like an example of kind of how we, you know...
The difference is probably more the timing and the pressure amounts. And it's very subtle. Like, mm-hmm. everyone almost does the same thing, but, you know, everyone has. Okay. So it's very close.
Yeah, that was my next question. So I'm not completely familiar with the entire process of how it all works. So, so what are all of the variables that go into pressing? So you just said pressure. We are obviously no temp.
Time.
And then there's time as well. And then
those are the big three.
What about like surface area of the press?
That's
like
a big one too, yeah.
Okay.
But that I guess that one ties into pressure, because the different size bag and amount of surface area you're pressing onto, that impacts like the amount of pressure.
I guess time too.
Yeah, so it still is time.
And temperature.
Temperature and really, pressure. Yeah, it all boils down to those three. So you know, bag size and plate size is absolutely a factor, but I say that's like a function of the pressure, or that impacts pressure.
Gotcha. And were you guys pretty similar on those variables as far as how you wanted to see it pressed?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, beside bag size, I normally use a different bag size. I have also normally use a different size press, the plates of the press, like mm-hmm. What I usually use is different. So that's going to impact the size of bags I'm used to using. So I had to adapt to use a different size bag that he has been using with great success, and it was no issue.
Okay, cool. All right. How did you guys pick the strains that you used for the collab? I know... How many total strains are involved in this collab?
18. Oh, sorry. No, there's a couple less than that. But yeah.
So I guess there's 17 then?
There's 8 from my side. And
oh, yeah. There's 8 from my side too.
Yeah.
I doubled up once and you doubled up once.
Yeah. So there you go. 16 different.
16 different.
Wow. In total.
That's awesome.
Now, are these
nine different blends, 16 made of 16 total different flavors.
Okay.
All 50-50 mixes.
Now, what I know that Resin, you do some breeding. You know, I'd like to maybe pheno hunt some of those one day if I'm lucky enough.
Yeah, for sure.
How many of these were, you know, selected from doing pheno hunts and or brought in as clones from other friends or collaborators in the industry?
On my side, I think that I pheno hunted all of them, except for the lime is a blend of the lime haze brulee, which I bred, and then we blended it with Tahiti lime, which I got a clone of. So that's the one I got a clone of. I used that clone to breed to make the Tahiti haze brulee. But that's just a really crazy good terp that I usually like to pheno hunt everything, but sometimes the stuff is so good that it's like, I just want that.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything else, I think we used Hawaiian Wanimas in the Tropic Wanima. Sorry, I said that a little wrong, but the Tropic Wanimas is Hawaiian Wanima, and that's one that I made or I bred with the Hawaiian Fanta and the Panama Wilson.
Cool.
And then the other ones are just seeds I hunted out.
Is Panama Wilson, is that from...
It's from Masonic.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Edgar,
shout out Edgar's the man.
Yeah. No, he seems like a character.
Yeah, he's definitely.
Yeah. What about you, Select?
Okay, so from my side, out of the 8 flavors, it's a mix. Some are from outside gardens that I process for. These are other great growers who have made selections, and one of those actually is a selection that I had helped make with that grower.
So from a pack
that
of seeds.
Was the tropics. That was this grower that I work with. Caregiver Terp Center and a geneticist, Alpha Buds Genetics. Cool. Them working together, and they bred two favorites of. Ours that they had in their stable, which was papaya and white gummy bear. The white gummy bear is the Pine Z. It's like a pineapple one.
Damn.
So we love that white gummy bear a ton. They bred the papaya with it, and we came out with Tropics. But there was like six different phenos that they had, you know, come to the end with that were viable growers, and you know, terps were smelling good. And I helped them narrow that six down to one. So that was a selection I assisted with. And out of the, back to the original question, out of the total eight, there's the rest were ones that we had selected in-house. So yeah, it's kind of a mix from my side.
And I forgot, I can't believe I forgot this one, but the red berries has ray berries in it, and that, that came from 12's Grow.
Love that one.
She gave me the clone of that one. Stellar. So I did not pheno hunt that one. I'm just holding on to that. So
yeah, that's a good one.
It's crazy good.
One of the best, I'd say. I love ray berries.
Yeah.
So a question I have for you, Select. So you selected some of these from gardens that you collaborate with, and they were pheno hunted. When they were pheno hunted, do you know what light types they were? They're pheno hunted under, like HPS or LED or.
I think most of it is under LED.
Okay.
I can't say, you know, I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure because I'm generalizing. There's a few, there's three different, you know, gardens we're talking that this is that I had some flavors coming from. Maddie B Stackers, shout out Maddie B.
Yeah, CG.
Terp Center, like I said, that was number two, and then Green DeFrost.
Okay. Nice.
Though, so I know one of those three is actually. You know, he's gone back and forth, but I think he's back to the HPS train.
Okay.
Or at least HID.
So what would the HID
I think be? The other guys are all LED.
So when you say HID, what fixture, what are we talking
HID
about?
HID is, I think the definition of HID is like the just the grouping of all the, I think it's high intensity discharge. Yeah. I could be wrong.
That is what it is. Yeah.
But it includes just a whole grouping of like metal halide, CMH,
okay.
HPS, all the bulbs that ultimately it's like, you know, you screw it in, there's gas inside there, there's an element, it burns bright, like, and it's hot. Like all the ones that burn hot like that, those are HID okay. lights.
So I guess what I'm getting at is, are you then growing them under a different spectrum of light? And are you seeing any differences? That's kind of what I'm walking into.
Yeah, I can at least, I can't speak for them. I can say, because, yeah, that you know, there's a few different techniques that I think they're doing. But as far as me, I like growing under a mix. I like growing under both LED and CMH.
Okay.
So that's what I personally pheno hunt under, and that's what I flower under.
Okay.
I can say that. I keep it. For my pheno hunts and all my stuff, I keep it the same.
All right, cool.
But, I mean, you know, there's times I have, there's other people who run some of my genetics. There's, you know, and I see it come out great under LED only as well. Everyone's got their groove. You just, I think it's all about just keeping the plants happy and managing your own environmentals. And, yeah, I don't know. People go back and forth on lights, I think, sometimes, but it's not always the lights.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I've had experience with double-ended HPS and LEDs, and I haven't done a lot to rosin, or really, well, I've done a little bit, but I'm just curious if there's any grows that are similar enough to where you could see if there really is a difference, you know, between the two with terps and or yield to hash.
I bet there is. I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people are getting into the under canopy lights.
I know, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
I just ordered some for my.
Well, I can't say I like it because I don't have personal experience with it. But ever since I've seen it, I've been like, oh, I think there might be something there.
Yeah. A few of our friends that stopped by have told us they've seen, you know, 1% increases in, you know, hash return, like to rosin, and, you know, 20-30% increase in biomass from their same square footage, and so that's exciting.
Under what?
With the double, with the under canopy lights.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I just ordered some for my exterior trays. So I have, you know, a grid of eight lights, mm-hmm. and my exterior trays always suffer because they're not getting the overlap mm-hmm. from the interior and the lights on the side, so I figured, you know,
do the outside.
Throw some underneath those exterior trays. and see what happens. You know, I really don't have a lot to lose, but one factor I'm worried about is just heat. And I guess there's extra transpiration from the plants. And
yeah,
so there's more humidity causing more heat and just stressing your air conditioning. And like, you know, in an economy where it's already pretty tight for people growing the flower, and maybe that's my problem. I shouldn't be doing that. But yeah, just adding extra heat, new expenses, potentially new hardware to my garden. It's, I don't know. It's a topic of conversation, I think, for a lot of growers right now.
Yeah, that's cool that you're messing around with it. I'm very curious to follow along and hear how it goes for you.
Well, you know, you see all these guys on Instagram, and, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like you're seeing, you know, 3 out of maybe the 10 growers you look up to using them, and it's like, would they be using them if they weren't working? You know, I have seen growers do that before because they're sponsored by companies. And, you know,
I was going to say that.
Yeah, I've heard of people using nutrients and lights, and, you know, I buy them because, you know, a friend of mine that I don't talk to very often, I see him on Instagram, and then I see them, and I'm like, oh, you know, what do you think about the nutrients? Like, what milliliters per gallon are you using? They're like, oh, I don't use that shit.
Sweet. Fuck, dude?
I just switched all my shit over to this, and you're not even using it. So
That
was my first thought on the under canopy lights. Yeah. I was just like, are these guys just getting them and selling them? Or I don't know.
But they actually do it?
Yeah. I'd have to hear more.
That's just an important thing to observe in people, though. Like, see how often they change, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you should change a lot, like in the pursuit of getting things better. But like to what you just said, like, I feel like sometimes it's like either people, you know, are just always think that there's something else out there, and they don't give what they've got, you know, enough of a chance, you know, they don't put enough time and hard work and effort into what they have and, you know, making it run optimally. They just will, you know, band-aid the issue and buy something else and be like, oh, well, no, this didn't work. But, like, you know, really it could be, might not be the under canopy lighting. It might be something else. Like, you know, what you just brought up was very, is exactly what I'm, one of the things I'm talking about. It's a very smart thing to consider. It's like that a lot of people, I think, don't. It's like if you're adding light, there's going to be additional humidification needs. There's going to, it's not just, oh, how much can I support the extra wattage of those lights, you know, on my breaker? Like, it's going to change the plants. It's going to change the environment, most importantly. And, like, will those changes to the environment be, you know, outweighed by the addition of that light? Or will the addition of that light, you know, throw some other things out of whack in your environment that's, you know, might make it less beneficial than it should be?
Yeah, like, are you, you know, I know a lot of people from the old days, everything was, you know, gram per watt, you know, like, what am I spending per watt of electricity versus what am I getting gram wise? And, you know, I did the math for my garden, and per 4x8 tray, I'd be adding about 500 watts to each tray. And, you know, the lights that I have are Lux, I think 640s. So I'm at about 1300 watts per tray. Now I'm bumping up to 500. So, like, you know, I'm essentially running 2,000 watts now. So, like, could we just be doing HPS at this point? Like, you know, but one thing I will add, our buddy, really a priest, shout out to him. He was educating me on these lights.
He's cool. I like him.
Yeah, he's a great dude. We'll have him on here one day. But he was mentioning to me that people that are using these in the most efficient way and seeing the best results are dimming them. They're not running them at full power. So, you know, check the box on one more thing you got to buy, a fucking dimmer for these fucking lights. And then in my case, you know, the trays are on opposite sides of the room, so I might need 2 dimmers. So it's just like I'm looking at all these expenses as labor costs and, you know, flower prices are decreasing. But again, maybe it's a conversation I need to have with you guys to just make some fucking hash.
From my experience, I haven't been growing for too long, probably like 6 years or something, but from my experience, every time I get more flower weight, the resin is worse. Like, it doesn't help. It's more about just trying to get good trichomes than it is, because it can usually come out a little more dry is the issue.
The resin will be more dry?
Yeah, a lot of times.
Interesting.
Yeah, and maybe just for me,
You know? Why do you think?
I think for my particular reason was because I was using a lot of silica to try to make the plants bigger and stronger. And I think that that actually hardens the shells of the trichomes potentially. But I think just like, you know, there's like the surface area of the nugs, like the smaller they are, the more the trichomes get the natural, like the light that they're typically going to get. So
there'd also be more resin per gram of biomass, inflating the yields.
Yeah.
I've heard of people not running CO2 for their rosin.
Yeah, that's a similar thing. I do still run CO2 on mine, but I turn it down a lot more than I used to. I used to just crank it to try to help get them huge, but now it's more like in veg that I care more, like up until day 21, and then I'll cut back on the CO2 a lot heavier than I used to.
That's a tech right there.
I guess what, you know, the perspective that was shared with me about the under canopy lights was more from the perspective of more developed bud sites lower, because, you know, it's rare that anybody's defoeing to the extent that they probably should, because it sucks, it's just tedious. But with the under canopy lights, your lowers are becoming, you know, more ripe and, you know, growing more bud mass, more surface area. And, you know, the people that I've heard it from are pretty highly regarded and respected, so it's like they have no reason to lie or exaggerate, but you never know. But that's interesting. So you were saying more light, the more dry it would be. I might have misheard what you said.
Well, just for me, like, so when I used to use LEDs and they would increase my flower yield, I think, compared to now that I'm using HPSs, and my rosin would come out more on the dry side for me. And it wasn't LED? Just the LED. No, it's not just the LEDs. It's just in general when you're really trying to push the plants hard to get them as big as you can get them, it hasn't been helpful for me.
Gotcha. And I know you mentioned
final product, at least.
I know you mentioned silica. That's something I've used for a very long time, ever since like Aptis came out, you know, 12 years ago. Facilitor was something that was big.
Yeah, but I still do use it. I don't try to, we can wait for the siren, but I just don't try to run it all the way through as much as I used to.
Okay.
Yeah.
This podcast is just so fire, guys.
Trying to come it out.
But yeah, I just cut it out a lot earlier than I used to.
Okay. So what, so I know people at scale, I've seen them foliar silica because it's just way more cost effective and you can absorb more of it through the stomata. What silica product were you using?
I do like to use the Aptis facilitator, I think is the best, but I get the mills because it's almost the same, but it's cheaper. The facilitator is pretty crazy expensive.
Yeah.
But it's obviously really good.
Do you use it at like recommended strength, whatever the bottle says, or?
I do. It's only half a milliliter, so I think that's pretty chill.
The Vitalize app for mills?
Yeah.
That's what I've been using recently.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess I was talking to Ben from Mills at your event, actually. It was the first time I ever talked to him, and he was saying that the formula for the Vitalize, is that how you say it?
I think so.
Vitalize?
Yeah.
That is the original Aptis formula. Like that guy.
I've heard that as well.
Yeah, guy like sold it, and you know, I loved Aptis back in the day. It didn't come with a base nutrient. They would sell you like pellets, like time release pellets.
Yep.
But I sub irrigated, so like it didn't work because I'm like soaking up from the bottom. Yeah, it was a clusterfuck. But I used it with Botanicare, and it worked great.
Yeah. You know,
with the boosters from Aptis.
Yeah, all the Aptis stuff seems to work really good.
Yeah, it was just expensive and you know.
It's crazy.
But what about you, man? What do you think about silica?
I used to run it, I don't anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you?
I'm not against it, but yeah, I just personally don't. I didn't feel it was benefiting me enough.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, yeah, I kind of like you said, I've seen people who, you know, I've watched product that they use it and it comes out great though. So like, you know, some people, it definitely jives with their regimen.
You feel like it's more of just like a gimmick, like one more bottle they're trying to sell you?
No. Cause I absolutely agree that it does what it says. It almost like adds like, you know, extra, you know, layer of armor on your plants. It makes them a little bit more resilient to, I think, a number of things. So yeah, no, I think it does what it's supposed to do, but like, you know, all we're really looking for and focusing on is unique, pronounced flavor and you know, yeah, and a great consistency, kind of like he had mentioned. So we just didn't feel that it was, you know, helping enough. It was helping. I'm not saying it wasn't, but it just wasn't necessary. Yeah, yeah.
It is expensive. It's one of the probably the most expensive additives you can for the more for like the better ones. You know, like Vitalize or any of the concentrates. I think
one more thing I'll say about it too is so I think that like some strains that are naturally wet, like Rainbow Belts or Ray Berries or stuff, like you could add as much silicate as you wanted and that would still come out wet. But it's more the ones that are already kind of dry, like then you're just going to make it more dry. That's just my made up science that isn't real at all, but I think I've seen it. So
yeah, if you've seen it, you know, it's all you need to know. Yeah, I've always, you know, monosalicylic acid, from my understanding, strengthens cell walls. So, you know, makes it harder for, you know, fungus to, you know, germinate on the leaf surface.
Yep.
You know, just strengthens the plant, hardens them to drought stress is another claim I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. One of my favorite uses of it, though, is if, you know, everybody's vegged too long before and your plants are stretching like crazy.
Yeah, control the stretch. Yeah.
And aside from, you know, crop steering by, like, you know, doing harder drybacks, you just up the silica, you know, and it's supposed to help stop it. And I feel like it has in my gardens before.
Yeah, that's one of the facilitator secret moves.
Yeah,
double the doses. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, and then you're just paying $3,000 a run instead of, you know, $1,500. Yeah, that's something I've always thought about in my garden. Like, is it really necessary?
I've tried four different kinds. I will say the Aptus Facilitor and one by Gross Science, I believe is the brand, were my favorites.
Grow Science, you said?
I think that was it. I just showed it to you recently.
I was looking at it.
Was it Grow Science?
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Grow Genius?
Grow Genius, yeah, maybe. Grow Genius. That, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that Genius. I like both of those.
Are you watering it in or, you know, spraying it on the plants?
No, when I was using it, it was watered in.
Okay. And I know another thing that I think a lot of people like fuck up on is you need to put the silicon first. You know, that's a very important part of
for
the protocol.
For sure, we run it for 5 minutes with the water before we
homogenize. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, I heard it bonds to the CalMag or whatever.
You can crash it out.
Yeah, and I feel like if you don't see that, like, fizz that comes up when you mix it in, it's not doing its job.
Right,
but
right.
I don't know. That's just always been something that's in my head, but I just like it when I see that fizz, you know, it's mixing up. You add the silica in there, and you see that, like, the water change and that fizz come up, and I'm like,
It must be doing its thing.
Yeah, it's getting all open.
That's awesome.
That's why the Aptus costs a little more.
The Aptus
it's got a good fizz.
Yeah, exactly. You're paying for that fizz. Yeah,
it's the Sprite.
Yeah, spicy. Just like that.
Spicy water.
Yeah. So what, I guess, along the lines of, you know, nutrients, are you guys use the same nutrients, or what are you guys liking these days for the hash?
I've used a lot of Floraflex.
I heard good things. It's the salts that you would, you know, put into the water and mix up yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That was a big competitor with the Veg Bloom.
Yeah. Yeah. I think. Yeah. I've had pretty good results with them. Mix as well. Stays stable in the res. Obviously I've tried all those growers. They've tried a ton of different stuff, but, at least right now I supplement with Floraflex, but I do grow in kind of like a soil mix. It's not, you know, only Floraflex.
Getting some extra stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always liked that. Like I used to grow with Ocean Forest. And
yeah, there you go.
Like a salt nutrient blend.
Yep, and supplement it with some salts. Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah, I think you can get some great results with that.
Yeah, I agree. Floraflex, what about you, man?
I also like to mix the organic stuff with the synthetic stuff. I like the liquid organic stuff because I think the plants can get to it quicker than stuff that has to break down. But I use Mills for my base, and then I do Aptus for additives.
Mm.
And I've been using, this is the secret sauce, the, what is it? The Uncle John brand, there's like Sour D and Sugary. I can't remember the name of the brand right now.
But yeah, hold on, I'm writing this down.
Yeah. The sour being a sugary is like it's like fermented fruits that's very available, and they must have did some science or something. So,
I think he's onto something.
Cutting edge solutions.
I think he's onto something because I did see a study recently that compared the end result of rosin that was fed with fermented fruits versus one that was not, and like night and day difference visually. The numbers, I think when they tested it, is somehow they weren't as different as at least I would have expected. But like as far as like a smell, look, it was night and day between what was fed fermented fruits and what wasn't.
Yeah, and then personally, I would rather pay for the like stuff that's already in the bottle that I know is stable. I just feel like when you do, like if you were to ferment your own, you could be dealing with like pH dips and stuff that you would be unaware of. And I just think it's easier for me to just have it ready to go.
Yeah, that's common in, Korean organic farming, like FPJ, fermented plant juice.
Yeah.
Something my buddies are always talking about back in the day during the heavy organic days.
I've never done it. I'm sure it's awesome, but I'm just worried. I've used other like bottled organic stuff that can mess up your pH really bad. So I'm just very selective about what I do.
You don't want to take
too much time for deficiencies and stuff. Yeah, or lockouts or.
So another, I think offshoot of this conversation. Now I know that Resin, you hand water, right? Mm-hmm. Now do you hand water or you have like some sort of an automated setup?
I have a few different setups. Some I hand water, some I have, going through a manifold.
Okay. Yeah, I know, your hat, your hoodie over there, Nugs for Days, shout out to him.
He's a great dude. Shout out to Nugs for Days.
I know that he fucking hand waters, and that sounds fucking insane to me, you know?
He does it twice a day or more. I tried to be like him, and I did it. I had cocoa, and I did it for a couple of rips, but now I switch back to soil. Just because of the retention of the water. I think when you're feeding really high quality nutrients, it doesn't matter if you're in cocoa or soil. They're just mediums to hold the water. Like, I don't think that the plant is really like eating stuff out of your soil if you're going to give it tons of bottles too.
So a question, again, I don't grow for rosin, like the resin from Solventless. But I know that there's little strategies to the irrigation that you guys play with, and I've heard from others. So if he's watering three times a day, is he aiming to keep them more wet, or are they drying back so quickly that he needs to water them three times a day or two times, whatever?
I think his are drying back.
Yeah. Okay, so he's in smaller pots and he just has to?
I don't know. You could ask him, but he's in big pots, but he's got big plants in there, and they're just monsters, and they just and the cocoa just dries out quick.
That's fucking insane. Three times a day, you're a prisoner.
Oh my god!
I mean, I think it's just twice, but I'm sure sometimes
even still, once a day, you're a prisoner.
I did it twice a day. It was horrible to do twice a day. I do it once a day right now, and it's
You gotta start your day doing it.
Yeah, yep. Christmas and everything. Yeah,
never miss a day.
Yep. Slave to the trade.
Yep.
I feel it.
Yeah, it should make people appreciate the products. And, I don't think a lot of people have any idea what goes into it, especially you guys. Like, you're farming and processing and branding it and networking. And, like, I don't think people really have any idea or understanding of, like, that you guys are slaves to it. And pheno hunting and breeding. Yeah,
it's just a lot.
And if you're holding on to your own genetics and you're too afraid to give anyone a cut, then you can't let them die. So, like, it's...
Keep it going.
Yeah, it's really a big deal to... I'm worried about it all the time, or just, like...
Constant pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a labor of love. I'm just happy I get to do it.
Yeah. Facts. Very lucky to be able to do this.
Yeah, I think you... I don't think any of us... would do it anymore at this point if it wasn't something we really enjoyed and wasn't a piece of who we are at this point.
Yeah.
Facts.
I think you need to run Solventless now.
I know. I've been fucking putting it off for so many. I just like, the waves almost crashed at this point. Do I get on it at the end or just say fuck it and wait for something else?
We've been telling you for a minute, so it'll happen.
I know. We'll, I have no choice pretty much, but we'll figure it out.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's... 8 blends? Nine. Okay, so I know that these have some fucking ridiculous names. What was the inspiration? I know, Select, you love The Simpsons.
Yeah, so, well, you know, to touch on the jars and how we did them, you know, we have five that are black, four that are white. We basically tried to, you know, adapt each other's branding to the others and kind of mesh it together. So the black ones are kind of more in my theme with The Simpsons, and the white ones are more in Resin's theme. And yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about that. Yeah.
They look amazing.
Yeah, they turned out really good.
Oh, no. Okay. This is what I wanted to add. The Sticky Trap did a good job.
Good.
Taking both of our...
thank you.
The Sticky Trap did a good job taking both of our logos and, you know, editing them and making it so that, you know, it was a mesh of both our branding. And they did a great job on taking our, you know, ideas and actually getting it done as far as, you know, the stickers and the overall design of these. So shout out Sticky Trap. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you much.
I just want to shout out our team. We got an incredible group of guys over here, and it's just it's really cool watching an amazing team all work together. And you know, it was all your guys' ideas. We just kind of put it on paper and put them on the jars.
You got some cool names.
Yeah, very cool names. So what I'd like you guys to do is just go one by one and pull them and you know, tell us the name and, you know,
tell you about them.
Yeah, give us a little backstory.
Whatever we want to say. Yeah, whatever notable things about them.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't wait to dab them.
Yeah, grab them.
Yeah.
Wait, how about this? Why don't you guys open them and smell them, and then we'll talk about them while...
So you want us to smell them first?
Yeah. We want you to check them out. We're excited about this. Like,
okay.
We want to see some reactions.
All right. Well,
you pick one up with the other.
All right. So all people that know me know that I love Albanese gummy bears.
Nice.
So I will pick this one first, which has the Resin Reserve logo with the Select Pheno name across the top. Very cool collab. And it's simply called Albanese.
Yep.
And like, we have the red gummy bear on there. And we'll crack it open and give it a sniff. And then you guys can tell us what it is that we're sniffing. Ooh, I like the consistency of it. It's not super wet. Ooh, that smells fucking good. Oh, man. Yeah, that smells fucking crazy. So this has, does it have cherry something in it?
Yes.
Resin's title. Yeah. You comment on that
one.
So it's his white gummy bear, and then we added this. So it's a rotten fruit cocktail is actually the strain, but it came out very cherry. So I just call it Cherry Bomb now. And we mix that in there to give it the red gummy bear
smell
vibes.
Smell that from here, bro. That thing smells wicked.
The white gummy bear is one of my fucking favorites from you. That one is just like exceptional. I can smell hints of it, and I was thinking of that. It smelled familiar, but the cherry blended with it, it's fucking on point.
Yeah, so that's, the cherry is ultimately a phenotype that you've, you know, named based on its flavor from his side. And then from my side, it's white gummy bear, which is the one that I already kind of touched on earlier, but it's actually Pine Z, which is like a very pineapple, it's pineapple Skittles. That's the, other people call it pineapple Skittles. The garden I got it from, they're like, this is pineapple Skittles. I'm like, oh, I want to run that. Like, what are the terps like? And they're like, it's like a white gummy bear. That's the pineapple gummy bear. And after I washed it, I was just ecstatic because it was like spot on. And I was like, oh, this is excellent. And it's one of those that, you know, people open the jar and it like fills the room and they're like, whoa, what is that?
Yeah.
What's that one? What am I smelling? Special. So yeah, the Albanese, I think that was an excellent mix that, you know, I think it'll give people a good taste of what, you know, like a red gummy bear might taste like. Yeah. That was our thoughts behind it. You know?
Very cool.
Stupid fun.
Instead of white gummy bear, it's red gummy bear.
Yeah, he cracked it and it literally came over. Oh, he was like, oh my God.
So that one, so it's Pineapple Z, you said?
Yeah, Pineapple Skittles. Yeah.
So I just saw Connoisseur had gifted a jar to, I think, Skrilly the Kid, you know, Bobby Trill outside.
Yeah, California.
I saw he was
much respect to him. Yeah, he's a great maker.
Yeah, no, that one.
Both of them, Con and Trill.
Yeah. They're doing some big things for sure.
Respect them for sure.
But yeah, that smelled fucking.
That's actually the same thing as White Gummy Bear.
That jar. Same cut, you think?
Same cut, same garden. Nice. Yeah, same
what
everything.
Greatness.
What does that one wash at numbers wise, roughly?
Low threes.
Okay.
Still so good. It's
good enough.
It's good.
You know?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And I'm taking, and a little fun fact, taking the White Gummy Bear, which I just told you is low three, like basically like 3.0, 3.1. Taking that and breeding it with the papaya in order to make Tropics got the yield up a little bit to like higher threes, not four, but yeah, a little bit higher threes. So
that's good.
Yeah. Helped it out a little bit.
Now, how does it grow, the Pineapple Z?
Like a Skittles plant.
So short and shitty.
Longer veg.
Short and shitty.
Shorter. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that one's fucking special.
Yeah, it is.
What was the cherry that came through on yours?
The cherry is it's actually Rotten Fruit Cocktail from Skunk House Genetics, which is supposed to kind of have a little bit of GMO in it, but that pheno has no GMO at all. So
yeah, I can attest to that.
I was very, very hyped on it. So I started just calling it Fruit Cocktail. It's like drop the rot, and then it's just very cherry. So just change that up again. So just renaming it up. But yeah, that one hits around like mid threes, and the plant is pretty big though. Grows nice and tall.
Okay, you said that one hits around mid threes.
Yep.
Oh, good.
Okay, so not like a crazy washer, but good enough. No, you said
it's very hard to find ones that actually are real tasty. They're after me again.
Yeah.
Oh man, they knew the terps were out. Yeah. They're like, shit, bro.
It's hard to find.
The disguise isn't working, bro.
No. But yeah, a lot of times the ones that go over four are not as tasty. Sometimes they are, but it's very hard.
Papaya is one of my favorites. That one, doesn't that hit around four?
It does.
Probably depends on it. It's one of my favorites.
Temperature.
Yeah, that one's never been like a big, big yielder for me. I've heard of some people say it, but not personally. Yeah, I mean, maybe fours in the fours for sure. I've gotten some papayas, but
it's great.
I wanted to kind of add on to what he was saying and agree that, I just want to say that all the stuff that we find is like, we're happy if it's a three, because really we're just looking for the right flavor, and if the right flavor has 3% or 2%, like high two, sometimes like we're okay with that. I get almost scared, and I've heard some other hash makers say this too, but like I almost get like scared when we wash something and it comes out higher, like, you know, in the high fours and fives and six. I get worried about the quality ultimately, because
so high,
you then have a lot of something that's kind of mids.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. Saturation. It's more dry, you're
Not always. It could just be flavor. Yeah, drier in consistency, less flavor. And I'm not saying all of the high yielders are like that. There's definitely some exceptions. But I'm just saying that's not the rule. You know, like in general, we find all the best stuff in the lower that are, you know, lower yielders. All the stuff that we enjoy smoking the most and like that we think tastes the best, it's lower.
Yeah.
Lower yielders.
That's always tough when you're pheno hunting too, because a lot of stuff I've been popping, there will be like a 5% that's almost as good as one that's like a 3%, but it's just a little bit not as tasty. And then you just have to
make it tough.
Call it. And it takes me. I asked like five people, I'm like, are you sure this isn't like, you know, just to double check that I'm not throwing away a cash cow,
hurts every time.
Yeah. But I always do toss them and go for the flavor.
Yeah. All the best flower I've ever grown comes from the shittiest, weakest plants. You know, they just fucking are feeble. But the terps are just so fire. You just have to.
You got
to
run it.
Just got to do it. Yeah.
Grape stomper.
The Percy's.
The grape stomper. I'll never forget the grape stomper, bro. Mm. See?
It lost favor. Oh, my grace. God,
bro.
I didn't think it had the terps.
Right here.
No. Damn.
Man, I don't know, man. I was telling homie, it was like, that was the first time I smoked a gram in one whole night.
Damn.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. And then he tells me, he's like, yeah, I actually got rid of that. I was like,
yeah, that one sucked.
Yeah. And I was like heartbroken. I was
part of it is like, I think I had extremely high expectations for it and it just didn't quite meet my expectations. Like that was a time like Capulator was super hot. Mac was hot. Yeah. And like, you know, Grape Stomper, it was like,
that was good.
His next kind of like a release of, you know, hot, what was for hot seeds, and I just didn't find what I wanted. Which so like one? I had my expectations were pretty high, and yeah, I didn't find what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. What I know you're your own breeder, so you might be biased in this response.
Barely, hardly.
What are your guys' favorite breeders for hash producing strains these days? Because I'm always itching to buy some new seeds, you know. So what would you guys recommend if I were gonna go buy some seeds?
Archive is really always good. They have their top tier.
Okay.
Skunk House is great. Who else have I been messing with? I'm trying the stuff from Cali Connection. I think I've noticed a lot of people use that, so I'm trying to pop a couple from them. I don't know why they're not popping to me right now, but what other ones do you use?
Bloom yeah, Seed Co. Yeah, we like Bloom a lot. Good. Yeah, Archive, like he said.
Masonic does have a lot of great stuff, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of options, but some of it's really good.
The only, you know, another honorable mention, it's only one in our stable, but it's one of my favorites, the Slurp. That was by In-House Genetics. Yeah. I think at least some of the other stuff of theirs I've ran is a little... has been a little slightly less stable, but yeah, I guess I still have to mention them because I one of my favorites came from them.
Slurricane was good too.
I don't even know if they're doing really breeding anymore. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't followed closely enough, but I do like to see the stuff that he's doing with, you know, active, you know, he's kind of like an activist. So I like seeing that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So when you say unstable, you're just talking about like Herms or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay. That's common, dude, man. There's so many inbred plants now, you know, but some of my favorite shit herms. It's just like sweet.
It comes to the territory.
Yeah. I think it's good to ride the line on it because a lot of the good stuff is on the line.
Yeah.
Compound is really good. That's where I got the Fanta from.
Compound.
Did he do the blue lobster?
I'm not sure.
Do you know about the blue lobster?
I've heard of it, but I don't know enough about it.
I think Compound did the blue lobster. There's who's that? D&D?
DMD.
DMD, yeah. He's a dude that we're
rolling soon.
Yeah, we're waiting for him to come on into the shop, but he posted some blue lobster packs. Like when you know, I've only seen what it looks like, so I don't know the terp profile on it, but it just looks just frosted white. And
I did see it.
People up in Maine, I've seen a few in Maine growing it, but I think he bred it, and the DMD Exotics guy posted a few packs. And I was like, yo, let me buy one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've just been like fanboy over it for... the past like probably 6 months.
I think it's your first saltless drop right there.
Well, who knows? It might be a fucking 1%er. So yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
But back to Masonic. So I know, doesn't he like breed a lot in like his like backyard? Like I don't really follow him closely. I just like kind of hear things. And, you know, I know he's prolific and been around for a long time. And, you know, I don't ever hear anything bad about him other than he's like a wild dude, which is fun, I think. But if you're breeding outside in your backyard, like, how can you be sure what you're getting is even what you're calling it, you know?
Well, I can't speak for him exactly, but I think a lot of stuff in his backyard, he uses the same male.
So, like, one male to a bunch of different females?
Yeah, and then they do have him and his buddy, I think, have a different brand that's called Natural Selections, and they like, let you know that it's open pollen.
Okay, okay.
So they have a line where they're open about that it could be something else, but there's
That's fair, then.
Definitive of what
it is. Yeah, I wasn't sure. We just don't have the opportunity to do a bunch of outdoor stuff out here in Michigan or, you know, in the Midwest.
Yeah. I've made some seeds here, and sometimes the plants barely can, or the seeds won't be finished. Some of them come out perfect, and some of them don't get finished up in time.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, well,
let's check this next one. Yeah.
Yeah, what one you got now?
The Kwajibo.
Oh.
Did I say that right?
How
do
you say it?
Kwajibo. Is that how it's
a special one,
dude?
Kwajibo.
Kwajibo. Yeah, I think Kwajibo. Yeah, it's in an episode of Simpsons.
Turn Kwajibo. K-W-Y-J-I-B-O.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Bart gets Homer pretty worked up about it when they're playing, I think it was a Scrabble game.
Yeah, and so the graphic is really cool because on the side
game
of that.
Over, I'm out of here.
Wait a minute, you little cheater. You're not going anywhere until you tell me what a Quidgeebo is.
Quidgeebo. A big, dumb, balding North American ape.
It's a, literally a Scrabble board with a Quidgeebo vertical on it. Good.
That one, yeah, that one's special. That one's very special to us. Yeah, it's almost like a flag. Yeah, flagship's a good.
So I'm guessing, what's the Hawaiian Fanta?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pick up on it. I just, because you guys said that, I was like,
does that got slurp in it?
Yep. That's the combination. Yeah, that's it's Hawaiian, sure. Hawaiian Fanta from his side and slurp from mine. And that slurp's the one that I was just yapping about from. Yeah, in-house, that's one of my favorites.
I'm like, bro, we're hitting strong with that.
Yeah, that, I smell the slurp in there.
Hell yeah.
It literally, you know, it sounds cliche, but it did tickle my nose hair. I felt one of them shift in there, so I feel like,
hell yeah.
Yeah, I
love that one.
Yeah, that one smells crazy. Well, Fran's getting busy with that. I'll get on to the next one. So we got Fruit Basket. Now, is this another cross from the rotting fruit one?
That one's actually, the seeds are from, I believe, Gateway Genetics is the breeder for that. So the Frosted Kiwi is a papaya crossed with the hazelnut cream, which is similar to in the other one in Kane and Kodos. There's Celestial Starfruit, which is actually also papaya crossed with hazelnut cream, or at least a very similar plant, but they're both different male, they're different. Both of the male and females are completely different plants, so they have different tastes to them.
So you said Frosted Kiwi is a papaya cross?
Yep.
That's papaya. A new one of yours, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So that's the first time important we've released note. It right, yeah. in, right into there.
Ooh, that smells crazy.
And over at Select Fino, we definitely like our papaya crosses.
I fucking love papaya.
Can't deny that.
One of my favorites. Those jars that you released, I think it was a Maddie B little collab, little box that he did.
Or the set, the box, the cooler set. Yep. Yeah.
I like, there's two papaya crosses in there that I just really, I think it was like the 8 and 13 maybe.
Oh, whatever, yeah.
Whatever they were, Z cubed.
Yeah. No, that, yeah, I think that was Tallyman. Yeah.
I think Tallyman is just papaya. I had a Tallyman cut, and it was, what is it, banana OG to dosi, then to papaya?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah,
so.
That is just like all my favorite shit, all in one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this smells crazy. Like,
dude, this is nuts.
Fuck yeah. What? Yeah, I'm getting like a pulp, pulpy type profile. I have it in, like, I grow Pluto that I pop from Gas House seeds, and it's like, it's a really unique terpene, but it's in all the best ways pulpy. It's like, it's different than most terps. I find it in kind of like citrus leaning stuff. This is the Fruit Basket.
Fruit basket.
So there's frosted kiwi.
Yep.
So that's half of what's in here.
Yep, that's inside of it.
And then the other half was.
That one's the papaya melons, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not really getting
papaya melons. Papaya is one from our stable. However, that was the only one from our stable that was selected by someone else. Shout out Justin, okay. Third Eye Melts.
Oh, sweet.
So both of these crosses have papaya in it.
Yep.
I'm not really getting any papaya on this one. Did you guys get papaya on it?
It's
Fruit Basket.
They're definitely different than straight up papaya.
For yeah, sure. Both yeah. are. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not getting like any papaya. There's a little fire. Like
yeah, in papaya melons, it's a little papaya. It's not like, you know, the forefront. Okay. I'd say so.
Yeah,
I think that's why, because in both cases, it's, you know, it's not the yeah, what's on the front end most prominent.
Yeah, it definitely smells pretty fire. Who's this guy?
Okay, yeah, so that's what I was waiting to come up. To explain that, that's the image that we chose for this one is Mr. Burns. It was when he got thrown out. Well, maybe not thrown out. He had fallen out of a window while Homer and Mr. Smithers were fighting. And Homer ended up getting a fruit basket as a gift from Mr. Smithers because Mr. Smithers then got to take care of Mr. Burns again. But we like that scene because I personally, I dig the CEO is going out of windows.
Yeah, nice.
That's a great, yeah, we'll have to take a shot of that, but that's some awesome art on that.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast I'd like to do about, like, you know, the future of cannabis, but I know we don't really have time for that today.
Check out this Tropic Wanimas.
Let's fucking do it, buddy.
Oh, man, aesthetically, that looks great.
Oh, yeah, we didn't comment on...
Oh, shit.
Aesthetically or physically how this one looked. This is the fruit basket.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, super nice. There's a nice little, like, terp little pool forming at the bottom. But overall, beautiful color on it. Dude, great consistency. Good. Nice terp to, you know, THCA balance. Kind of right where you want it to be. Not too wet. Definitely not dry at all.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I don't like them to be extremely wet. I think they need to have a little body to them. Makes it easier to scoop. And
now, is that tech-based or is that genetics-based?
Both.
Okay.
It can be. You can do tech to do it.
Well, no, you can, like, heat melt part of it and re-add it. I've heard about that before. I forget what that tech's called.
Yeah.
But
I don't know a ton about that. But I know, yeah, that's like one of the examples of what I'm referring to.
It kind of shows that we didn't add heat if it's not like a soup. Yeah.
No, I think the consistency is like fucking perfect.
But yeah, no, I agree with resin too. You know, like I love rainbow belts, but like even sometimes like I wash it and like, there's certain cuts that are just, it comes out like a soup and it's like, I should just say, like, you know, some Z heavy ones. But yeah, it, I think there's got to be the right, you know, happy medium.
Yeah.
Man, that translates really well.
Ultimately, as far as me, though, like, I don't try and manipulate anything for consistency. Like, if the consistency doesn't come out how I like it, we just don't release it. And, it, you know, a lot of times I think it's, you know, the genetics play a big part, so that plays into our selections too. But yeah, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make any action or manipulate it just to improve the consistency. I want it to come out as natural as possible because ultimately, you know, what are we all doing? This is, we're all talking fresh frozen, and why are we doing fresh frozen? It's so you can get the most natural, unadulterated example of what the plant has to give as possible. Like, that's the whole reason we do this. It's trying to, that's why you call it live hash rosin, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, ultimately, I'm just going for the closest you can possibly get to how that resin was when it was sitting on the plant the day of harvest. And me doing any other tech to change consistency just goes... against what I want to do a little bit, just because it takes me a little farther away from how it naturally was, you know, on that plant. I'm trying to have as little heat as possible.
No, that makes perfect sense. And I think that's a good standard to set for yourself and for the community, you know,
I will say though, now to contradict myself after what I just said, just to make all the people, you know, mind fucked. I will say though, there are for sure examples that I've seen where someone has taken something and heat teched it and it's been like 100% better after, like not just consistency, like it changed the terps and it tasted better after. I don't think that's common. I'm not saying that's common, but I've seen it happen. So I'm, you know, at the same time, I'm not like, you know, super against it, but those are just the ones I try to avoid. Yeah. But still, there's some that like it's way better after it, and everyone's got their own thing. So like I think you can make a great product. I know some massive hash makers in Michigan, ones that have been around for years and years, that heat tech a lot of their stuff, and it's very popular. And like I said, everyone has their own lane, and like with certain stuff, it definitely works with.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Yeah. But I think that's good for people to understand that, like, you don't manipulate it. You know, that's like,
you know, just try to manipulate it as little as possible.
Yeah, different, you know, just companies in every aspect of our daily life, of products we consume. Like, you need to set standards somewhere so people can understand why you're different. You know, not only are the terps great and you guys are growing it yourselves and a lot of the times, and it's just, I think it's an important little factor that people wouldn't know unless you told them.
You know, you guys have the highest standard. You guys set the gold bar where you guys actually really give a shit about everything.
That's why we came together and did this.
Exactly. You know, like, you guys have the highest standard. You guys actually really give a shit about everything.
That's why we came together and did this.
Exactly. You know, like, what I've, like, a great example is I've witnessed Select over making his stickers for half a millimeter manipulation take 32 minutes. Yeah. My man's is super particular.
I think it was a full millimeter, though.
Let's be clear.
Oh my god!
Skip the specifics.
Yeah. So, you know, you guys all operate on the same wave of, you know, elite caliber type stuff, and I do want everyone to know that, you know, like, this is something super rare of putting two of the best into one. Like, this is super fucking cool.
Yeah, and also a point that was made very clear to us. There's not very much of this, so not everybody's going to get to try it, and that's part of the deal with very precise and special selections and collaborations, but that's what makes it special and awesome. But yeah, on to this next jar. Tropic Wanimas. Yeah. What's the deal with this one, boys?
So that one's got the tropics in there, and then the Hawaiian Wanimas.
This one's crazy as hell.
I think I said it before, but the Hawaiian Wanimas is the Hawaiian Fanta crossed with the Panama Wilson.
Okay.
Yep. That's awesome.
So that's what it was on your half of
it? Yep. And then on my half, Tropics, we had mentioned that one. That's from Terp Center and Alpha Buds Genetics. That was our selected winner of... combining white gummy bear and papaya together.
Damn. I don't know. So was that in the Maddie B box? That one was not, right?
Tropics, No.
I want to smell that one. I don't believe I've ever smelled that one by itself. But this smells crazy. It's like a sweet fruit, but like there's also...
It's definitely got a tropical vibe to it. Yes. I dig that one.
But it's not...
Sure.
I feel like when people say tropical, my brain kind of goes to like Tropicana cookies terps, and it's
not.
But it's not at all.
No. See, yeah, that's not where my mind... That's funny, though, because, yeah, and now you saying that scares me how many people... Because I so often hear people being like, oh, I don't want trop, I don't like orange terps. You know, there's a ton of people that don't, and that's completely cool. That's why I love this so much, because everyone's different. Like, I still like orange terps. Do we run trop? No, because... Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's been around a lot, and there are a lot of people who are, you know, not as partial to it. But I still like that flavor.
The translation on that dab I just took was from that jar, and it's 1-to-1. What you smell is what you taste. I feel like I'm drinking a fruity drink on an island.
So that's what we go for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Terps on the note. Concern is making sure that it tastes like it smells. You know.
Yeah. But terps on the nose or like terps on the dab.
Yes, very important.
Yeah. So just to be clear, none of these have any sort of trop cookies.
No, there's
none of that shit.
No orange and anything.
No, I'm just telling everybody from my perspective. Like, I don't enjoy those terps, and these all smell fucking phenomenal. That one actually reminded me of like almost like a what are those, like, not a blow pop. The suckers with the Tootsie Pops.
Oh.
Yeah. It kind of gave me like a bluish, purplish Tootsie Pop type profile. Just like a sweet, like, delicious candy.
All right. I like it.
Yeah, that one smelled really fucking good. I think my two favorites so far would be that one and then the Albanese. But all of them smell fucking crazy. So another question I have for you guys. How did you guys decide who's... logo was going to go on which one? Did you just kind of shoot from the hip, or was there a purpose behind that?
I think most of it we kind of just followed our own themes and then adapted as well as we could to have the other person's branding on it too. In one case where we had to, you know, work out a difference in opinion was the tops on mine. Normally mine is just a SP on the top, so I was like, well, to follow suit, yours, it has to be just an RR on the top for you. But
he's trying to strong arm my boy.
He ended up he ended up, you know, saying, bringing up a good point, you know, that it wouldn't, you know, RR is a fairly common acronym, and people wouldn't recognize, we don't think that people would have gotten the reference, you know, from like SP to RR as well. So, yeah. You know, I agreed with him, and I think, yeah, in the end, it was the right decision. So, yeah, that was just one difference. But everything else, like, I think, like, I what he and I suggested kind of, once again, was pretty similar and pretty agreeable. We did spend a little while. Yeah, we spent, you know, a while on the phone talking about it. We each drew out, you know, outlines of our ideas and what we thought and how things should go and compared those. So, yeah, there was a lot of careful thought put into it, but not a whole lot of differences in opinion, I think, overall.
So I guess the question that I was trying to ask is, like, was there any rhyme or reason to what white stickers went on compared to the black stickers, or you guys just kind of split it down the middle?
I think we started with the Simpsons names because that was kind of more obvious to us, and my brand doesn't really have like a theme exactly, so I think we basically just started with the Simpson ones, and then we like looked at those three, and then, you know, kind of just
okay. So the names,
yeah,
it was, okay. It had, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like there was something else. Yeah, I like the what you guys did with the logos. I think the RR would have been, you know, confusing, but the way that you guys did it, it is a little confusing. It like fucks with your brain at first because you're like expecting to see other words with that logo, but I think it was a really creative way to put it together.
Nice. And yeah, I think it's fun.
Yeah, it was a grand slam in my opinion.
Yeah.
So then this one is,
yeah, and then the artwork on the white jars, usually I try to do something kind of either like overly straightforward or kind of funny and goofy.
Right.
Like you can see on the,
yeah, the visuals that we got.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get some close-ups of those and fucking pepper them in here.
Yeah, like the Tropic Animals.
Yeah, that one is hilarious.
Like, yeah, it's corny as hell.
This is great. It's you can see the Getty images pull through on the logo.
Yeah.
This is couple just,
I think you guys actually changed the wording too. It's just so small, but I think it says like resin images or something.
Yes. Yeah, I remember
the details. Remember
that going down. That's funny as hell.
So embiggen. Let me get a
embiggen.
Little smell.
Oh, isn't that like they made it a word now, I guess.
It is.
That's what I heard.
Yep. Embiggen.
Oh, that one smells fucking fire. All of these consistencies, I love that one. Artist legit as fuck. You know, they're all like pretty much the same consistency, like a nice, moist, but also like sturdy batter, almost like a thick, very thick pudding, you know?
Yeah, I think they are very similar, but if you put them all side by side, they all have a slightly different shade and they're a little bit like, I think three of them are more wet than the other ones, but
this one looks
a little nice wet. It's nice when all the hash looks different.
Yeah.
If they all look the same, it's kind of like,
it's a nice variety.
Suspicious if it's all
it's all CRC, bro.
Yeah.
No, this one is fucking legit. Also, the lighting in here is relatively mid.
Yeah, it's a little dark in here.
Yeah, so would you say this one's more of a wet one, the embiggen? It seems like more like dispersed.
That one I have to take another look at. I know the King and Kodos is more wet, and I know that I think Papaya Limes, the lime really got it wet, and the Kweji Bow is also pretty wet.
Mm-hmm.
So does this have, what's the cross on this? Because I smell like a lime.
You want to tell your side?
Embiggen?
Yeah, you
tell. That has the red pebbles on my side. So that's from Turp Found Genetics, another dude we should shout out for good seeds.
Okay.
All of his stuff
is great. I've heard good things about him. I haven't ran anything, but heard good things about them.
It's really good stuff.
And then, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's pretty much it.
From my side, the embiggen was from an outside garden, a very, very good outside garden. It's Green to Frost papaya.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah, that's
tough. Green to Frost, I think he told me he hunted like 160 seeds or something really crazy to get that.
Yeah, he does.
He's a G.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's dedicated to his growing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we'll have him on. He's a character.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, man.
Yeah, he loves to talk shit. We're going to have his ass on for sure.
Yeah.
I appreciate his authenticity and his work to the game, bro. He fucking gets it in.
Yeah, that smells good.
Is the embiggen, right?
Yeah, I feel like I right over my head.
The vision on this
to comment on the label, embiggen was actually a word that was first used and created in The Simpsons, and then they ended up adding it to the dictionary. It means to
make yourself bigger and better. Nice. I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's yep. Awesome. Just make something bigger and better. Yep.
I love it. Man, I would say this is probably one of my favorites so far.
You know, this is good.
You know, aesthetically, that looks fucking wild, but.
Yeah, the red pebbles is kind of almost more like a red juice. It has a little fizz to it.
So yeah.
It
kind of makes like it red look poppy.
What is the red pebbles? I think you might have already said it.
I think it's Pygasm. I have to look it up again, but it's Fruity Pebble OZ with Pygasm, maybe. I
think it's Red Pygasm.
Oh, yeah, Red Pygasm. That makes more sense. Yeah. Yeah, there's. I'd have to have a little cheat sheet for all these.
There's a lot going on here. All right. Then the next one. Is that Kang and Kodos?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Love the visual on that one.
Yeah, it's got those aliens on there from The Simpsons.
Yep. Yep. So, it's got the two alien characters from The Simpsons. We wanted this one, we chose an outer space theme. Ultimately, because of his celestial star fruit and my squishy.
Okay.
I love both of those.
This one was important for us to get the mix right because I like his celestial star fruit a lot, and squishy is like our most recent favorite find.
Yeah.
Damn.
So I wanted to make sure, you know, we got the right mix on this, like I said, and we definitely knocked it out of the park. This one's a great one.
Yeah, this one would open my favorites.
This one was crazy on the press, too. I remember this one being real pretty on the press.
And this one looks more wet than some of the others.
Yeah, that celestial star fruit, when I wash, I usually have to do that one last because it completely clogs the bags.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to soak them in ISO as soon as you're done, and you can't really just do a wash after you're done because they're...
Save the hardest for last. That's what we hash makers do because, you definitely got to fix some gunked up bags sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely makes some nice wet hash.
Yeah, the consistency is nice. So you would say this is one of the more wet ones?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, I can tell like how the hash has like spread out more than some of the others.
And I think also because it's winter, they've been in good, they've been nice and cold. Like if this was the summertime, these would all look a little different.
Yeah, for sure.
By the time they got to the consumer or whatever.
It's been extra cold around here and everything stayed cold.
That's good.
Yeah, it smells phenomenal. I can't even like describe it. It's just it smells fucking good. This would be my
top three. It's out of this world.
Oh,
the Kodos Kang?
Out of this world, baby.
The Embiggen? Yeah, I got high regard for that. I'm going to put that right there.
Yeah.
Nice. But, which one did you smoke last, Fran?
The Embiggen.
Oh, nice.
I've had the Guajibo, had the Albanese, the Tropical Animas, the Fruit Basket, and man, the Embiggen, that's. But this is the King Kodos. You got high regard on this, so.
It smells crazy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I can see why he would say, like, something substantial.
Yeah, I like Dosi and Papaya. Like, those are some of my favorites. Everything, a lot of Face-Off.
Your favorite.
But all my friends just dog me for just growing everything that's like a Face-Off cross.
Okay.
Which is not really conducive for this.
Yeah.
But that's just what I enjoy. But Dosi, I guess, is a Face-Off cross. So, who the fuck knows? Okay, so this one, that smells crazy. This one's a little drier, but this is Fanta OG.
Yep.
So that's got the Fanta in it. That's my go-to strain, so we ended up using it twice.
That smells fucking crazy. I think I smell the Fanta heavy on it. What's it mixed with?
That's from my side. That actually came from Matty B. Stacker's stable.
Okay.
His ZOG, which is Skittles OG.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I think the Skittles and the OG helps the Fanta because the Fanta kind of has its own thing going, but it's not really an OG or Skittle, so it's cool to mix that in.
Make it more complex.
Yeah.
Did you guys think about pressing anything not 50-50? Like 70% of something that you grew maybe and 30% from something that you grew? Or like,
we
wanted to keep it simple?
That was absolutely discussed. I was of the strong opinion that I wanted to do 50-50 mixes, though, on this. And I think that may have been, may or may not have been, you know, one of the things that, right. you know, went along with that I had suggested, but ultimately I wanted to do 50-50 mixes because, a couple reasons. I think it's important to the, consumer that they're with a collaboration that they're getting, you know, they feel like they're getting an equal amount of work from both sides, yeah. Or an equal amount of, you know, an example of what they've got from both sides. So that's one. But more importantly, two, a lot of times, I just didn't want anyone thinking there's anything like this going on. A lot of times, like, I'll see some other blends or something, or people won't even talk about their ratios. And what they're doing is, you know, there's ulterior motives in there. Like, you know, we'll make a blend. We'll tell people what the blend is. It'll be like maybe, you know, they'll blend one of their hype ones, you know, that flies off the shelves with another one that maybe yields more and they have more of, but they'll do it at different ratios and a higher ratio of, you know, and you know, a lot of times it's a higher ratio of the one that you got a higher yield of, or the one that is less desirable. And then you're mixing it with less of the good one, but you're relying on that good name to push it more. And it's sense. Like, there's this ulterior motive of like, oh, well, what can I slip under the rug? Like, you know, I'm not doing this because we think these are going to be the best blends. We're doing this, we're making this blend in this 70-30 mix or whatever it is, because, you know, we just want to repackage, you know, this one to get it to move better.
Yeah, like, and like, money.
That's not a part of our equation ever. So, yeah. I think forcing it to be 50-50 from each side forced us to collaborate and make sure we figured out which were the truly best mixes and what would go better together. It's just shows people there's no, you know, ulterior motives to any other ratios or any other, you know, decisions we might have made.
Yeah, I think it's blatantly obvious. You guys just both brought extreme quality to the table. There's nothing lacking in any of these jars. They're all extremely potent and stinky and delicious, I'm sure Fran can attest to.
Yeah, yeah. I'm keeping my composure. This is
he's pounding through them.
Yeah.
He's great. A professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's super fucking obvious that you guys just put quality above everything else, and that's why we're so happy to have you guys here and be a part of this.
No, seriously, you guys have outdone yourselves.
Papaya limes.
That one is great. I was really excited when we were pressing it.
What's the deal with this one?
Yeah, go with your side.
So that one has Tahiti lime mixed with Tahiti haze brulee, which is pretty much the same type of deal.
Tahiti limes, I think that's because I've smelled this like pulp-esque profile before. And I, now that you say Tahiti limes, like, I remember Archive Mitch came over here and he brought Tahiti limes and it had a similar like pulpy terp profile to it, which I'm getting on this.
I think it could be from the papaya melons a little bit more on that, because the lime is pretty straight lime. So, but
yeah, I think maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure. There's certain ones that have like a pulp. I know that I don't even want to compare it to it because it'll just clusterfuck everybody's brain. But I kind of get it with some like super boofs have like that pulpy kind of
citrusy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's like a part of the citrus family, like that profile.
Yeah. So I think.
yeah, that smells fucking.
And from my side, it was the papaya melons. As far as these two, we had a feeling these two would go together, and they surpassed our expectations. But mainly because, like, there is a citrus aspect, a decent citrus aspect to pineapple, papaya melons on my side.
I definitely smell the heavy lime.
That citrus aspect from the papaya melons on my side goes well with his Tahiti lime. So we had a feeling it was going to be a banger, and it was.
Yeah, no, it smells
true to its name too. I think, you know, you
papaya worms.
Yeah, I guess it's important to say, I think, you know, when you name something like a flavor, it's important that it
It's got to be relevant.
Yeah, like you don't have to name it. Like you could name it whatever you want, like something that's not even a flavor. Like some people do that. But if you're gonna name it like a flavor or something, it should taste like that. Like, and the farther it tastes from that, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like a discredit.
It could take away from it because people are going to it expecting one thing, and you could still get an excellent product, an excellent flavor, but it's just not what they're expecting. And it's like, yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
It'd be like, you know, I've seen like when they like feed people food that like looks like one thing, but it's like flavored like something else. Yeah. And they're just like, whoa.
You're expecting water.
Yeah.
Have you ever grabbed out of a bowl and thought it was like M&M's, but it's really Skittles or vice versa?
Yeah.
And you're like, holy fuck.
It happens with a cookie. I wanted an oatmeal cookie and it was a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, didn't expect that. You know?
Yeah, I can get you.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I guess I could have just been looking at the bottom this whole time.
We gotta tell you. We gotta tell you.
Okay, well, I cheated on this one a little bit. But I see that there's a Dreamsicle in here. And I know that the Rayberries is coming from your side of the equation. So what is Dreamsicle? I've seen a lot of people. And it says from Maddie B. And I know we worked on some stuff with him. Maybe it was Orange Creamsicle.
Dreamsicle is a pretty cool one. It's got a good story behind it. But yeah, that from my side is Dreamsicle by Maddie B. Stackers.
That's a homie.
Maddie B. has two flavors in this collab. It was the ZOG and this Dreamsicle. But anyway, about the Dreamsicle is cool because Dreamsicle, it was bred by Exotic Genetics Mike. It is cookies and cream crossed with Red Pop.
Okay. I got some red notes on this.
But the cool thing is the cookies and cream is Maddie B's cut, which turned into the breeder's cut, like Exotic Genetics Mike's breeder's cut, just because what Maddie found in his original cookies and cream hunt was so impressive and mind-blowing to Exotic Genetics Mike that he was like, hey, let me get your cut. Like, this is the breeder's cut now. And that's how Dreamsicle came to be because he bred with that.
Nice. Yeah, Maddie's a great dude. I recently met him and
he's awesome.
Just a blessing to have around. Just a good dude, always just trying to help people and does high quality work. So just a cool guy all around.
Yeah, and one thing I want to note on the Dreamsicle, the name, it might be, I think it's slightly confusing to some people, rightly so, but a lot of people hear Dreamsicle and they think creamsicle and they think like orange creamsicle or something, but that's not it. It's like it's like a creamy like red pop terps, creamy red pop terps. Like that's the best way I can say it. Like
red pop,
creamy, strawberry popped. Yeah, maybe not even pop, but like
Yeah, and then obviously the artwork on there, you know, kind of like a.
More like strawberries and cream than you know, type. Orange, you know, creamsicle. Yeah, like strawberry creamsicle, let's say.
Yeah, that smells so fucking good.
I think the name does that one justice, too. I was hitting it a lot last night, and I think it definitely tastes like a red berry.
Yeah, because then you have the rayberries in there, which I'm very familiar with. And it definitely looks like one of the more wet ones.
Yeah, the rayberries is crazy wet all the time. That one's, like, dangerous to work with because it... So what?
It's one of your last
in the bag. Yeah.
Last in the bag.
The terp on rayberries is phenomenal.
Yeah, wait till you smell this. This is definitely one of my top. I think there's four that really stood out to me. That
this papaya limes, that translation really is there. Like the namesake is what matches and tastes fucking great.
Yeah, I love this one's fucking awesome. Delightful. I love the rayberries and the Dreamsicle with that little red pop touch to the rayberries.
That
fucking smells so good.
It's like a great symphony of like.
Yeah, you
just
like
the
rayberries
best.
A lot too.
I love
smell
the rayberries,
that fucking one. That smells
red
fucking
berries.
Great. Yeah, I'd say that one, the Albanese, Tropic Wanamas. There was one other one I really liked. Fruit basket, I think, was pretty crazy. I'm gonna have to smell them again. I'm biggin'.
That's one thing that I've noticed that's cool about this from the people that have got to try it. Everybody has different favorites.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
everybody, you know, grew up smoking different stuff. And yeah, that's the best part of a nice variety like this is, you know, there's something for everyone.
Yeah, that one smells fucking crazy. What the fuck is this called? Wakimbo or something?
Ouijibo?
Ouijibo?
Kwaijibo.
Kwaijibo.
That's one of my favorites.
Ouijibo?
Yeah. That
one is. For sure.
Yeah, I'd say these ones and then the Rayberry Cross. Those are my four favorites.
I'm excited about to try that one right now.
How'd you feel about the smell of it?
Awesome. It literally smells like the two separate entities. Like, I already know what they are from, but dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you are one of the few people who have, you know, tried those two things separately beforehand. Most people aren't, you know.
You're just getting introduced to it now.
Yeah. They or maybe they've tried one side or the other side, right. But you know, not both. So yeah, it'll be different.
What a great mixture.
Oh, that's
funny. The Ray Berries is prominent, but that red.
Yeah, you get that little red tinge in there.
It's like red pop.
All of them are fucking phenomenal, and they're lacking nothing. It's just, it's all based on preference, you know?
Yep, that's what it comes down to.
They're all just done at a high level. All the color looks stupid high quality. Yeah, man, you guys did a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
Happy to check it out.
This is awesome. This is great.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, what were the, any takeaways from working from one another? Is there going to be a round two of this?
Nothing planned at the moment.
Yeah, nothing planned. There could be, but we'll probably wait for a year or something, you know, at least. But
yeah, no, it's a special thing that takes a lot of time and work. And, you know, it's not like, it's not easy to, there's a lot of planning that goes into it as well. So it's not easy to replicate and just do it again and, make it a common thing. So it's, you know, it's a special collection of work that may or may never come around again.
Ooh. Yeah, I know it'll never come around exactly in this fashion. And then, you know, I had a question. I was just thinking about how some of these come from, you know, gardens that are tried and true that you've worked with throughout the years. How does that work?
You're asking how it worked out with my, the other partner gardens that I work with. So
for this collaboration?
Yeah, for this collaboration, here's how it went. Pretty simple. I was the one that was, you know, curating my carefully selected flavors that I wanted to put forth in this collab with resin. So I went to a few of the guys that I partners I normally work with, and I said, hey, there's this flavor from your garden. I'm working on this collab. Will you be willing to let me use that for this collab? And in every single case, all of them were super cool about it, and they were down with it. They were, you know, excited and glad to be, tapped on the shoulder to be a part of it. And yeah, that's kind of how it went. It was super. It was really easy.
All right. Well, is there any closing statements you guys would like to add?
No, I think that pretty much covered it. But yeah, I think it's a great experience overall to collab. I would suggest it to anybody who's thinking about trying to do it or wants to do collabs. It's fun to work together with someone else. And usually, like, at least I know Select has a partner, but I'm always working alone in the lab. So it's super cool to work with someone. Makes it fun, learn a lot of stuff, have a good time.
Yeah, we were vibing in the lab.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Nice. Hell yeah. That's
good. Meshing, working together very well.
That's great.
Yeah, that is funny though to mention that because I am used to working with one other person in the lab and he wasn't. So, I'm sure it was nice because, sometimes there are some times when my partners aren't around too and I have to work alone in there. And it's solitary.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gets solitary in the cold room.
Days get long and cold in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Long and cold. Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing this with us and letting us be a part of this this legendary collaboration.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have you guys on again. I kind of want to get more into the kind of origin story from each one of you guys. So maybe at a later date we can get into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe another day.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. No problem. It's been a pleasure.
All right, well, I guess that's it, boys.
Yeah, good kicking it with you, fellas.
Yeah. Thanks. Awesome. Peace. Likewise.